Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I am Cammie Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here with us today. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love in your life. And we are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So let us begin. I'm pleased to introduce my next guest expert, Wendy Newman, who will be talking today on the topic, how to succeed at finding love without having to go on 121 first dates. How much do we love this topic? I cannot wait for Wendy to share more about her story and how she got to all of the knowledge and wisdom that she's going to be sharing with you today. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Wendy. So Wendy Newman is a dating, sex, and relationship expert who's led hundreds of workshops to thousands of people internationally. She's done extensive research with men to help understand their point of view. Wendy is a compassionate fellow dater. She navigated her way through 121 first dates before she met her partner, Dave. Her book, 121 First Dates, How to Succeed at Online Dating, Fall in Love, and Live Happily Ever After, really, is part tell-all and part dating guide. So I'm so excited to have Wendy with us today. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Cammie. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Great. I'm so glad to have you with us. And let's just dive in. And can you tell us a little bit about your background? How is it that you came to be a sex and dating and relationship expert and coach?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what happened. When I turned 35-ish, I decided it was time to leave a long-term marriage. I married young, and like many couples, we grew apart. Good man, grew apart. And what I could see in looking back at that long-term marriage was I picked him because he's awesome, but I also picked him because he was really safe. He was the safest straight man I could find. And I realized that, here I am at 35, and I had accidentally, systematically alleviated all masculinity from my life, just removed it completely. So I lived in San Francisco where all my male friends were gay, and I ran a hotel for disenfranchised women. So my clients were women, my bosses were women, the board of directors were women, my staff were women, and I had women friends, and I had no masculine energy around me. I had succeeded in running the show, and I picked this really great guy to marry who I could boss around and run the show and the whole deal, right? And when I was 22, that was great. I wanted to be in charge, and I didn't want any man to limit me or control me or dominate me, or I didn't want any of that. I didn't want any of that masculinity bullshit. So I was going to be the man, right? Mm. And that's great at 22. It's awesome. At 35, I was exhausted. I was doing everything myself. Have you ever been in a relationship where you're doing everything yourself?
Oh, yeah.
So I had to leave him because I was tired. I was just tired of all that masculine energy and accountability for everything. And I thought, well, okay, well, great. Now you're single and now you're going to start over. Are you just going to create the same thing? Because you don't know how to deal with men. And it was a kind of an aha moment. And I looked up the website that like Googled, right? And I found a website that was understandmen.com. And I went to a 2-day workshop just to like handle that thing, or at least start to look at this whole masculine feminine dynamic and what the differences were with men and how to actually not only be great with them, but how to even just live with them and deal with them and not lose my own power. And also not take their power to gain power. That's what we do, right? So I started playing with that dynamic, and I did that 2-day workshop and at 35, which was 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that so changed my life in 2 days that I immediately started working for the company and started leading their workshops.
Oh, wow.
So, I know. So overnight, I went from newly divorced to man expert leading workshops about men.
I love it.
Right? And part of my day job of leading workshops is finding out for myself, like hearing it from the horse's mouth. So part of my job was literally interviewing men. And so I have, over the course of 16 years, interviewed thousands of men on every single topic you could possibly think of about men and women and dating and love and sex and things that aren't related to men dating, love, and sex. I mean, just everything, 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 everything. And it's fascinating. And it's actually a habit now. So I'm just constantly researching. I have a good idea that I want to know something about, and I send out SurveyMonkey, and I call up my list of guys, and I talk to strangers on the street, and because I want to find out, like, what's going on in there? Why is it different? So that's how I got started. And then along the way, I thought, well, okay, I'm a man expert now. This is going to be super fast. I'll just like snap my husband like that, right? It took me a decade to find the right match for me. I'm a really hard match. I have really strange requirements that I need. And so it took me 10 years and 121 first dates for him to finally walk into my life. And so from a personal standpoint, I had 121 first dates that I really didn't mean to have. I just thought I'd have like three.
I'll go on a few online dates.
Yeah, just like one or two, and then he'll show up, and then one or two more, and then one or two more. And before you know it, it was 121. but he's amazing. And we've been together 5 years, and life is good. And he's incredibly masculine. He's very alpha. And it's great because we both get to be powerful. You know, I don't have to lose my power to his power. Oh. I don't have to do all the things that can be natural for women to do to feel powerful in their relationship. So that's my long-winded story.
I love that story. Well, you mentioned something. You said that I'm very particular, or I'm a tough match. Those aren't your exact words.
Yeah,
I'm hard match. For anybody out there who relates to that, what would you say to them about, you know, your must-haves, your deal breakers, that it's okay to have certain things, certain requirements? What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's completely fine to have your bar set too high and to be a hard match and everything like that. But the thing that women need to do is we need to be real with ourselves, okay? So it's completely fine to have your requirements. And there's two things you need to pay attention to. One of those is, are there things on your list that if you have this thing, it's going to actually conflict with that thing?
Like, oh, that's an interesting point.
Right? So I knew I had one thing on my list that almost cancels out the other thing. But so if you have that, right, you just have to be willing to know that your pool is very small. So I'll give you a woman example so you can see.
Yeah, give us an example.
Yeah. So like if a guy said, I want a woman who's really fit. And what he means is like a size zero, right? I want her to be really fit and really like all over her tiny little fit body. But she needs to be able to hang out with the guys every weekend and eat pizza and drink a lot of beer every weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So that's two different women, right?
No. She's doing CrossFit at that time.
that size zero pizza eating, beer drinking woman does exist. She's just really, really, really rare, right? Mm. Her metabolism is really rare. So there are, I think one that tops a lot of women's lists is he needs to be alpha, killing it at work, C-suite guy making bank, but he needs to put the family and me first.
Yes.
That's two different guys.
Yes.
Right? So for me, my conflicting need was I really needed a man who I could feel safe. He could make me feel safe, both physically and emotionally and everything. And I'm a big woman. Like, I'm a big presence, and I'm also physically a big woman. So I need like big, strong physical, bigger than me, stronger than me physical. But I also needed, you know, that super masculine, emotionally available, make me feel safe in all the areas. So safety was one thing I needed. The other thing I needed, because I'd been single for so long and I had been bossing around my first husband for so long, the other thing I needed was freedom. And you usually don't get safety and freedom in the same guy. He's either going to make you feel free or he's going to make you feel safe. But you usually don't get both.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you did.
I did. And it took 121 first days. So you just want to be real with yourself. If you're going to keep your big list, it's fine. It's fine to need what you need. But don't have a fairy tale around that it's going to be easy for you. And it might be easy. I mean, he might show up in the first date. You know, you might be so great at manifesting that, boom, there he is, Mr. Conflicting Needs, all rolled up into the perfect package, and you live happily ever after. Good job. But, you know, when we start to need specific things and the percentages of men go down for that, it's tricky. I think, you know, we all love a man over 6 feet. We all love a man who makes six figures. And that's 14% of American men.
Wow.
And that statistic might be optimistic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really great advice. And you mentioned something while you were speaking about emotionality and emotionally being in a certain space. So for you, as you were dating, how did you make sure that you were always in a good place emotionally throughout the dating process? And what advice do you have about that?
Yeah, one of the things that we hear is we need to even be vibrating at a very high vibration for to call in the right one for us, that we need to be at our very best. And that's bullshit. Now, it's great to strive for that. It's really great to strive for that. But what happens is we take that information when we hear it in, and it runs through the filter of our inner critic that is always striving for our perfection anyway, right? Always telling us how we're failing at being perfect. And it can become an excuse to not take action. Like, oh, I don't have all my ducks in a row right now, so I shouldn't be dating. Or I'm feeling kind of wounded and still sad from the last one. And even though it's been long enough and I really am in good enough working order, I should really wait until I'm vibrating at a 10 and in perfect shape before I can...
No.
There were times that I was in great shape and I didn't meet anybody. And there were times when I was in terrible shape and faking it till I made it and barely good enough working order and met really great potential guys that, you know, we dated for as long as we did until we found out we weren't a match. And in fact, when I met Dave on our second date, we were waiting online at the restaurant to go sit down and have our date. And he said, "Hey, so I noticed you're not online anymore. What happened?" And I said, oh, and you know, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm like, oh God, don't think it's you. I didn't go for you, right? So I'm like, oh, it's nothing. You know, I'm going to wrap up this date with you right now, but I'm going to stop dating for a while because I have a lot going on. I'm working on my book. But the truth was, I'd had it. I was in terrible shape. I needed to take a break. It just was too much. So I was in terrible shape when I met him. So don't let that stop you. And I think the thing you need to just notice is, am I in good enough working order? Or is this guy going to be really sorry he had to deal with this crappy, burned out, angry version, bitter version of me? So don't go out angry, bitter, but you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that because I've heard that a lot, that, well, I have to keep working on myself, or, oh, I have to, just not quite there yet. I really have to release this baggage, or I have to remove this, you know, really have closure, or all the different things that we do. Or that sometimes I hear women say they can't focus on something else, like, for example, a career project or something, like this really big thing with career. It's either that or a relationship. Mm. And so I love what you're saying. That's like, no, it's, we're all perfectly imperfect, but you said, what did you say about in good working order? Good enough.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough working order. You know, if you can fake a smile that they won't know is totally like you going, I can do this. then you're good to go. If you're just pissed, then no. And also you can notice, like, how's it going? Have you had two or three different dates in a row where you're getting the same not great version of that same guy? Well, that's another indication, like, okay, well, maybe there's something I need to shift in me because I keep attracting this guy, right? Oh. So I keep attracting the one who lied or whatever. So if you see a pattern in them, that's a good indication that you need to just double check yourself and be real. But yeah, that's don't be perfect.
And you just mentioned about drawing the certain person to you. So what are some of the things that a single woman could be doing to draw the right match to her?
Well, the thing you can do to draw the right match to you is to know what it is you're looking for, because the clearer you are, the faster it can come. And I think that the core qualities are more important than the 4-page list. I had a 4-page list for all 10 years. I mean, 12-point font, single spaced, 4 pages. I knew exactly what I want. But if Kimmy said to me from that 4-page list, if you said, "So what are you looking for? I got some male friends. What are you looking for?" I'd have to roll my eyes and dip into my back of my head to try and see the list, right, of the 4 pages to get it. So we know, but until you can go, "I got 5. Here are the 5 things. I need him to be a lot like me. Kind of a smarty pants know-it-all, irreverent, funny, wordsmith, very important," right? Like, and that sounds, what I just said was very shallow.
But it's like compatibility.
But that's what I needed. Yeah.
So
Once I had my top 8 that I could ramble off the top of my head, chivalrous was in there, right? Mm-hmm. Guess who started showing up? Literally, when I got those solid 8, almost every guy who showed up had those 8 elements in there. And it was pretty great. It was like the universe is like, okay, that's a bite size that I can deal with. I can hand you that. I can serve you that. That 4-page list, I can't reconcile, because you can't reconcile it. And it's interesting because someone, I had done the work at the workshops that I used to lead about the 4-page list, right? And someone said, "Hey, does Dave have everything on your B list? In other words, who does he have to be for me to say yes to him?" And I said, "God, that 4-page list, let me go find it and dust it off," right? And we were about a month and a half in, and I dusted off the list and I read it out loud and I started crying and I handed it to him. And every single thing on the 4-page list, he had everything.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because in your story, it sounds like when you met him that you were actually unattached. You were like at this point where I'm over dating. I need a break. And that seems like, but at the same time, you got everything that you wanted. It's so interesting.
It was not a good time. He was also the newly divorced guy. I was really not attached to the newly divorced guy. I've been around the block to know you don't date the newly divorced guy.
Wow. So what I'm hearing is stay open, but don't be attached. Yeah. And just, you know, get your clarity. And in a weird way, it's too woo-woo sounding, but it just sounds like the clarity is what is going to draw to you what you want.
Openness. It's openness too, because I had a particular set of rules and best practices, right? Like I had a rule that I didn't date anyone that was more than 25 miles from where I lived. And in fact, my OkCupid profile wouldn't, you know, I had the 25-mile radius set. And he lived 50 miles away, yet somehow OkCupid sent him to me.
Interesting.
So you need to keep space, right? You got to be open enough to leave space for serendipity, right? Mm. And also, I had a rule about dating the newly divorced guy. I had been burned a million times. My friends had been burned a million times. I knew that there were two kinds, but I rarely met the good kind. What is a good kind is a much longer conversation, but there are two kinds. And I didn't know which one I had, and it was probably not him because he was so newly divorced. And yeah, I just opened.
That's beautiful. Well, and what are some other traps? So what do women need to do to avoid what you call the 3 dating traps that will keep them from succeeding in finding love?
Yeah. So we have that inner critic and that voice in our head that sounds like us. And it always seems like she's giving you information because she means well. Like she's trying to make you a better, more perfect person. But she doesn't mean well. She's actually not your friend. And she'll tell you all kinds of things when you're dating, like why he never called back and how you blew it. Like all the things that you did wrong to have him not show back up or pick you or whatever, right? And then we also, in the same vein, will start saying negative things, sometimes in sort of slogans. So, so you just need to be really...
About the self or about the other, the date?
Self. So you want to be really vigilant about the conversations going on in your head. Like I remember, and you can get stuck in the patterns, like at one point in the, I don't know, 70s or 80s, right, of numbers of dates, I decided that, I mean, oh my God, I'm a workshop leader teaching women how to understand men and partner well, but I don't get my man. So I started telling the story to myself about how, well, maybe you're just the teacher and you get to show women how to be tenacious and keep standing, even though it doesn't turn out for you. And maybe everybody else that comes across my path gets to have their men, but I don't. So maybe I'm just the teacher and I don't get my man, right? So we start rationalizing and making up stories and
maybe love is not meant for me. It's meant for everyone else.
Yeah, so you just have to catch yourself in the act, you know, and say, no, he didn't. It wasn't because he saw my belly fat that he didn't call me back. That was not the reason. Like, you make up the dumbest things, right? Like, why? It wasn't that dumb story or because I laughed too loud or, you know, if you showed up and even if you talked too much or you snorted Pepsi through your nose or whatever, right? Like, whatever the thing you did, if you were just being yourself, even if it was like not the best moment of yourself, that's not why. And your man loves that part about you and would think that's hilarious. I actually said really dumb things on my first date with Dave and he stuck around. So, hey.
Right. If you cannot be yourself with the person, then that's not the one for you, right?
Right.
Okay. So the inner critic is a trap.
Inner critic's a trap. Dating alone because you're embarrassed about something like that you're still single or you're single again or that it's not working for you. We tend to hide what is really going on for us because it's embarrassing or we feel shame or, you know, blaming ourselves or something. So don't date alone. Get support from a coach. Take a class so you can be connected to other women. Get girlfriends who are in your similar space. Even if she doesn't live in your town, maybe you have an old friend that's now single, but you're in New York and she's in Chicago. Okay, great. There's Skype. There's a phone. So don't date alone. You should definitely have a buddy that can help you through the process so it's not so lonely. And one of the things that we most want out of a partner is someone to witness our life every day.
Mm.
And you can create that in your girlfriends and male friends. Because I did. And that's what was one of the things that had me be a happy, successful, single person, which was cultivating these really profound, deep, loving, connective relationships with other single people so we could witness each other's lives. And then the third thing that is a trap is being unchecked, like going on that break because you're burned out. And then like, oopsie daisy, 8 months later, you're like, oh yeah, hi,
ha ha. Oh, to be dating.
I've been paying $39 a month for a service I haven't gone on to for 8 months, right? So a dating buddy will also help you by telling you when to get off the roller coaster and take a little break, but will also keep you accountable for coming back on and getting back to the business of finding your partner.
That accountability. Mm-hmm. No, 'cause that can happen so often. You mentioned 8 months, but I've talked to people sometimes, they haven't dated in years. It goes by so fast.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think that the support and accountability is so important. Well, you know, you've done so much research with men, and I know that a lot of women that I talk to, they are really looking to date for commitment. And of course, people date for different reasons. But what can you share with women who are really looking for commitment in dating? Maybe they don't know about men when it comes to that.
Yeah, one of our biggest complaints about men in dating is that they're dating for sport or for fun, where we're serious and we're looking for a partnership. And I think what's really going on is it's not that we have different dating purposes, it's just that we actually relate to dating very differently. And I think the men are right. So I'm about to illuminate what's really going on. So men understand that it's not online dating, it's online connecting to see if you want to hang out for 10 minutes at Starbucks in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. And they know the very first baby step is, let me get in front of her and see if we have any chemistry, see if I like her, see if she seems sane and happy and entertaining, right? Is she fun? Is she my flavor of fun? And that's all they care about, because it's not that they're only out for fun. They just know that dating is a process and there's only one step at a time. I mean, it'd be like, you know, so that's their plan. They're going to go spend a half an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours or whatever the first date tends to be, right? Just to see, do I want to do this again? Not do I want to marry her, but do I want to do this again? And then step by step by step, he's going to be from then on checking us out to see, are we compatible? Does it add up? And we'll talk about that in a minute. But for us, we are serious.
Yeah.
We have a relationship. And all so right. we go in with the whole partner package. We talk in our profile about what a great wife and mother and how family and friends were fiercely loyal to them and we're great cooks. And right. And we talk about, like, when you're finally here, you're loyal and honest and open and financially solvent. And, you know, we put our whole list in there, like we're building the husband wife package. It'd be like him going on a first date with you and saying, hey, so let's talk about a prenup. Too soon, right? Too soon.
Too soon.
Or sharing with you what he would really like to talk about, which is having sex with you and what position is your favorite. Too soon on a first date, right?
Well, I'm sure there are some people who haven't figured out that that's not something you bring up that soon that I've heard stories about.
Yes. Yeah. I have been on those dates. It's true. So when you're feeling like that's too soon, for them, leading with a partner package to a total stranger seems like bad judgment.
Yeah.
Just like talking about a prenup sounds like bad judgment. So he's just trying to find out, is she interesting? Do I like her? And we're like, is he my husband? Right? Well, am I finally going to get off this stupid ride and be done with this dating situation? Right? So that's part of the disconnect, is they understand it's a baby step and we're trying to like sort it out and be efficient and lead with the whole partner package when it's too soon. And men, can I just like launch about men and commitment for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So men commit, you know, we all know that they take longer to commit than we do. And there's a really good reason for that. And it's because we commit differently and we look at different things. So women, and I'm going to generalize like crazy. This is not all women. You might be thinking, this is not me. Good for you. Well done. But many women, see if you can see at least three women you know who've done this in your life. Many women will say yes to the cute one standing in front of her. Yes, he's charming. He's handsome. He's hot. I want to have sex with him. I want to go to bed with him. And look at all that status he has. Yes, 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 yes. I want to win the prize. I want to win the prize. Oh, I got the prize. I won the prize. Now let me examine. Do I want this prize? What part of this prize should I change? Right? So we'll commit, but we're not committing to the whole package. We're committing to all the parts we like about the package. Mm-hmm. And then we get very busy at changing the things we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why it took me 121 first dates, is because I knew this and I was only willing to partner with a man that I didn't have to change at all. So
good choice.
I know, right? So a man doesn't do that. A man, well, again, generalizing like crazy. I know there are some men that try and change women, but for the most part, they are going to commit to the whole package. And because they're going to commit to the whole package, it takes them a lot longer to see the whole package. So can I commit to her? And when she does something really obnoxious, like laughs really loudly, it'll be, and someone will be like, oh my God, her laugh. And he's like, I know, adorable, right? Because he committed to the whole package, right? That's just how she is. You'll hear a man say, that's just how she is. He doesn't try and change that, mostly generalizing. I know. Okay, so back to what they're looking at. They have to sort out, can I buy into this package? And part of what they look at is our personalities and our integrity and all the lovely things that we look at in terms of commonalities and compatibility. But he also looks at something else that we don't know about. And what he looks at is, how much is she going to try and own and control my life? And am I going to be okay with that? Mm. He has to look at all the areas. Is she going to tell me who my friends are and who I can see and who I can't see if we get married? I don't want to live with that. Or is she going to change the way I dress? Yeah, I'm kind of cool with that because I'm clueless.
I need a makeover. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I need a makeover. She has better taste than I do, right? So he's going to look at every element of, will I be able to still ride a century bicycle 100-mile ride with my guy friends on Saturday? Or is she now going to own my time with a honey-do list and say I can't go out anymore? So whatever their lifestyle is as a single guy, freedom is very important to the masculine. So he's going to, for both men and women, when we're on our masculine, freedom is very important. So he's going to look at, how is she going to limit and change me? How is she going to control my freedom?
Well, this is, can I interject here? Yeah. Well, this is interesting because I actually was on the phone with someone earlier today and talking about this, and she was talking about how her partner, they are newly engaged, and her partner has a lot of different things outside of the relationship, like his surfing with the buddies. He just planned a trip with the buddies, all kinds of things like that. And she's really feeling like she's having a difficult time because, yes, on one hand, you each want to have your own life, your own friends, your own interests and all of that. But at the same time, coming together, you know, to share interests and cultivate the relationship. And her experience is that her partner is not doing that with her. Like it's all about the buddies. It's all about, and it's like, oh, and then here's my fiance. So what do you say about, like, where's the parameter in terms of, you know, when does the relationship become collaborative and, you know, merging interests, or not that you have to do the same things, but I mean, the time with the relationship and the cultivation is important. So what do you say to something like that, a situation like that, if someone is being, I hate to say it, but a little selfish, what would you say to that?
Well, we all get to determine what enough looks like. So I wouldn't look at it like friends versus me and our time and cultivating relationship. How I would look at it is, here are the things I need to feel like I have enough with you. Mm-hmm. So enough with you might look like we have date night every week, at least one time. And then we have weekend time together at least this much, right? And you get to say what this much is. You get to say if it's 48 hours or if it's 4 hours or whatever you get to say, right? And one of the mistakes that we, and I'm only saying this as a 50-year-old lady who's just been around the world forever. I couldn't have seen this at 25. I just couldn't have. At 25, I was already merged. You know, I was married and had merged my life, and we did everything together. And while we had a lot of friends, the thought of running off for a girls' trip for a week without him was just unthinkable, right? Where at 50,
That sounds great.
And I could go for 3 weeks and I'm going to miss him like crazy. And when I get back, it's going to be amazing to see him again. Right. So it's a part of why I need my freedom. Right. But it's a different situation to be able to live a partnered marriage where you're both free to be exactly who you are and to be available for all of the people that you want to be available for in all of your capacities, and still give plenty to your partner in a way that they feel like they're not having to take a hit because you're out there with everybody else. You know, it can happen, but yes, it takes communication.
So that really comes back to really knowing what your needs are, yeah, and what you're okay with and what you're not okay with.
Yeah. And what enough looks like, you know. And you know, the word communication, it's all about communication. I hate it when I hear that, because that doesn't really give people access to anything. But what I mean when I say communication is being able to express, and by the way, life is going to be fluid, right? So some weeks you're going to need more than other weeks, and some weeks you'll both be stretched and then you won't get enough of what you need. So maybe the next week you put more in. But communication in this context, and almost in any context, is being able to say, okay, wow, so last week's workload for both of us was crazy. I hardly saw you. So can we put, I don't know, 2 date nights on the calendar? Can we go out to the movies on Tuesday and then also just have like a snuggle night in? I'll cook dinner. We can cook dinner together on Thursday. And then also let's do some weekend stuff. Let's have a whole day, don't care which, Saturday, Sunday, just us, right? And so you can build in what you need in the moment. And especially if they're going to go that negotiation of, I want to go on a trip. 3 weeks? How about like a week and a half? Oh, okay. Right.
Right.
Make sure you're partnering with someone that is going to be receptive to the feedback of, that's too much, or that's not enough. Yeah.
So that collaboration is important, and a little compromise here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with any good compromise, there's going to be a deal made on the other end that makes it even more juicy. So instead of like, I want to be gone for 3 weeks and he wants me to be gone for 1 week and I settle on the 1 week, then there has to be, or even a week and a half, where we're, I would never do like a compromise. We're in the middle. I don't think I'd probably go like, all right, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you the one when I want to. But instead, I also want this from you, right?
Yeah.
So I, like, get something else juicy out of the deal to make like that 1 week fine.
Well, something that's coming to me when you're speaking is, you know, I sometimes hear there's this thing about not honoring needs, like that, what you were just saying, it was almost like a script of how to negotiate. And it seems like sometimes women have a hard time doing that. Like, oh God, I couldn't ask for that. That's too much. I'm going to come across like a bitch. You know, what do you have to say about that? About just really, you know, just speaking your needs, honoring your needs, and negotiating if you need to.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the word need really triggers women. We don't want to feel needy and we don't want to feel bitchy. Right? We don't want to feel entitled and yeah, I need this, right? And so one softer way to say it in a way that sits in our body a little bit better and is more true to us is, instead of you can use I need for the things you need, but you can also use if I had it all my way. Because if I had it all my way isn't a demand. This is just like, let's just make it up. If I had it all my way and I got to go to Africa, I'd be gone 3 weeks. So I can see the animals and do the thing and, you know, and have alone time and have investigation and meditation. And like, so you can play the game, if I had it all my way. Right. And then for the things that are like a deal breaker, no, you just need them. So it's been really great dating you, but you're a smoker and I need to not live with a smoker. So I'm really sorry. You're a great guy and good luck out there. I don't want to change you. Right. So that's
powerful.
And just know that it's never easy. It's never easy to set a boundary. You can get more graceful at it, but it's never going to be easy, because it literally goes against the grain of not only what we were taught as little girls, but it's also ingrained in our DNA. It's also part of our survival mechanism to be pleasing or to avoid displeasing people. So you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. So might as well work on getting graceful at it.
Might as well exercise that muscle. Right?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I would love to ask you about is men and sex when it comes to dating. You know, because a lot of women, you hear about that there's, oh, what if he has the 3-date rule and I don't sleep with him on the 3rd date? He's not going to want to see me again. Or I've heard from people saying like, well, I haven't slept with him yet. But it seems like it's dragged out for so long that now the guy is losing interest because he needs something in return, some sort of physical something. So how do you propose that women navigate? What's your best advice about dating and sex?
Oh my God, it's the worst possible thing, isn't it? It's like the hardest part of dating. If I sleep with them too soon, I'm a slut. And if I sleep with them when I'm not ready, I'm going to be crazed. But if I wait too long, he might go away and he won't know how good in bed I was, so he would have stayed.
What a conundrum.
There's no winning in this. And I wish I had a magic answer, but I don't, other than to let women know that what men don't have that thing that we have. We actually think we can ask the question to an expert, how many dates or how long should I wait to sleep with him to have it turn out into a relationship? And when men hear that question, they're like, is that a real question?
The magic number.
like they all have the number and they're not going to share it because they want sex, right? We want a commitment. So it's not, there's no number. And what men say and what men have told me over and over and over and over and over and over throughout the 16 years I've been asking this question is when you're both ready. And when you're both ready is when you have enough gumption to say all the things you need to say about, do you need to get tested? And what about anything you need to know? And what you expect from him after that, and. And unfortunately, most men need to sleep with a woman in order to see if there can be a relationship, but most women need a relationship in order to want to sleep with him. So it's a conundrum. It's a trap, and there's no magic pill around that. So sorry. But they don't think that there's a number. And there's one thing they hate. There's one thing that they absolutely can't tolerate. And that's us being ready. We're ready, but we're holding off because of some strategy, right? So there was a 3-date rule with the rules, and then someone came up with like the 30-day, and then Steve Harvey came up with the 90-day. So what rule is the right rule? None of them. Not one of them. And the reason the Steve Harvey rule is not the right rule is because it's not your rule. It's Steve's rule. It's not your rule. And so let's say you're following the Steve Harvey 90-day rule and you love him. You like this guy already. He's been, 60 days and you like him so much and you've been ready for a while, but you're going to hold off. But the thing is you're a good woman and you're holding off for a really good reason. You're strategizing this 90-day rule for the good of the relationship. So you're a good person doing it for the good of a relationship. But unfortunately, how that occurs to men is it's a strategy, right? You're strategic and it's inauthentic to you being ready. So you're fake. So now you're inauthentic and fake and strategic. Game on.
Not compelling.
Game on. And when you're fake, strategic, and not authentic, he's going to say game on. And when a man says game on to you in a romantic context, it's over. Every good thing you ever wanted is lost. Mm. He's now your opponent. Oh, he'll play the game. He'll wait 90 days and then he'll nail you and walk away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really about being authentic.
Yeah.
And it sounds too like you may sleep with someone and it doesn't turn into a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, and our inner critic will say, oh, it's because I'm bad in bed. Not necessarily. It has everything to do with the two of you and that connection you have together. So it's not that you're bad in bed. It's the two of you as a combination weren't a good fit. So don't let that be the thought either, because we never know the real reason of why. Maybe it's because he thought he was emotionally ready and it turned out after having sex with you, he wasn't. He wasn't done grieving whoever or whatever, right? Like, we don't know. And the first thought pattern is to blame ourselves. And that's a mistake.
So how, if someone is listening to this and saying, oh my God, I I don't want to sleep with someone and then it doesn't work out. How can you, what would you say to her about how she could keep herself safe yet at the same time go ahead and take a risk?
Well, some men will wait till, dog, don't move, dog. Dog's moving around. Some men will wait for marriage. So if you want to be married, definitely that is an available option for you. It's usually because they're religious, so you're going to have that in your corner. But there are some men who are not religious who will wait to have sex until marriage. And if you want that kind of guarantee, it's possible. And you just need to be authentic in stating, I won't be ready until marriage because I'm just unwilling to make that commitment, you know, from a heartfelt place, from who I am, from my own set of morals and standards. And then after that, you need to listen to what he needs in order to give you what you've asked for. I know a couple who he was willing to wait and they weren't religious, but it just felt right to her. And he said, well, I'm willing to wait until we get married. I love you and I want to marry you. And I need to know if we can sleep together. So part of him sorting out, are we compatible, is can we sleep in the same bed? Because he had restless leg syndrome and he snored a lot and he wanted to know if they were compatible to actually
sleep together,
not have sex together. But she was certain that he was just trying to fool her into getting her into bed and she wouldn't do it. And he broke up with her.
Wow.
Because first off, he was insulted that she thought he was trying to trick her. And secondly, she wouldn't give him what he needed to do his own sorting process. So listen to what they need in order to give you what you're asking for, whether it's marriage or 3 months or whatever. But I wouldn't put a number on it because that's very gamey, unless you do know your number. If your number is 3 months and that's organic and in integrity with who you are, cool. Come from that place.
If that's your safety. Yeah. And when should a woman cut a relationship off? So if she wants commitment, she's not getting it yet, at what point should she say, okay, it's not going where I want it to go? Because nowadays I hear a lot of women saying that he says all the right things and he's telling me this and that and he's future thinking, but for some reason, it just doesn't seem to be moving along. So what do you tell a woman in that situation?
I can't tell her when to break up with him. But I will tell you that it's a very common thing what you said. You know, he's talking about things, but we really learn who somebody is by their actions. So the words are lovely. You know, I can't believe I finally met you. You're so different from all the other women. This is going to be amazing. That's all great to hear. But there better be actions that follow those words. And if they're not, actions always speak louder than words. You've heard that all your life.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, any last words before we wrap, Wendy? It's been such a great, inspiring conversation.
Oh, thank you. I have really big parting, big word tips for the women. Are you ready for my big ideas?
Yes.
Huge revolutionary ideas. Don't like try and be perfect. So you're not going to start till you have your ducks in a row. Your ducks are never going to be in a row. Never in my life have I had my ducks in a row. So don't not start. And then once you've started, don't stop until you get to your love, if that's what you're after. Now, you might have to take a break or two, but don't stop. And if you have a really shitty date, just like one that what makes you want to be taken out of the game completely, the thing to remember is that date is behind you. You've already had that date. You're never going to have that date again. You might have a different bad date, but you're never having that one again.
I love it.
So you're over the hurdle. That's my hot tip.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I know that there's so much more that you would have to share. So can you share with us? I know you have a free gift that you're offering. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I could talk to you literally for 9 days with content. I would not do that. So So I have a free gift for you, and it's called First Date Success Secrets Revealed, and it's a three-part module on, and it's my voice and whiteboard animation. The first is what to never, ever say on a first date that I have said, that many women do, that like what not to do on a first date, and that we all do. And then the second one is, well, okay, if you're not going to do those things, what do you talk about? What are really good things to talk about on a first date, and what do you need to look for? And then the third thing is the number one thing that you can look for to sort him in or out very quickly. And it's a whole different approach to dating that I didn't learn until about 50 or so dates in. And that's a free gift that I want to give you.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to get Wendy's gift, all you have to do, it's below the audio or video that you're watching or listening to on your computer. You'll find the link. Go ahead and go there and get Wendy's gift, the First Date Success Secrets Revealed. It sounds fantastic. And Wendy, I really appreciate connecting with you today. Thank you for all of your tips and wisdom. Really enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much, Cammie. That was a lot of fun. It was good to be with you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, all of you who are listening and watching. We appreciate you being here for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. After you take advantage of Wendy's gift, don't forget you can check out our VIP package. That way you can listen back to today's session with Wendy and all of the other speakers anytime you like. So the information on that is below the page, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And we look forward to being with you again for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Thank you so much and see you soon. Bye-bye.